Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Now, every show has a theme. Today's theme, as I said, is Carpe Diem, seize the day. The goal of my guests is to explain how to make the most of the time we have each and every day. My next guest has condensed his wisdom into a book of bite-sized nuggets that's perfect for today's hectic lifestyle. He explains how we can take control and enrich our lives even in the midst of changing times. Brian Golden founded his management consulting firm all the way back in 1983 using the same principles he describes in his book, Dare to Live Without Limits. As he put it, he had more enthusiasm and drive than knowledge or experience when he started that business. Brian Golden is a recognized self-development and motivational expert, speaker, adjunct professor, and a nationally syndicated columnist. He reveals the secrets that aid us in our quest to conquer adversity and overcome obstacles to find happiness. Brian empowers people with essential elements they need to break the chains limiting their lives. Welcome, Brian, to the show today. How are you?
Good morning, Billy. How are you doing?
Well, we're doing terrific. It's afternoon where you are, isn't it?
It is.
Yes, that is. Well, thank you for being on the show. Now, my first guest that we had on, I don't know if you heard all of her interview or not, but she believes that businesses must expand not only their hours but also their services to accommodate our hectic lives. You've got some ideas how we can make more out of the time we have. How can we make more time in our lives?
Well, it's more an issue of, you know, getting the most out of the time that we do have. And I think one of the things that kind of puts us at a disadvantage is, and this is going against the supposed conventional wisdom, is multitasking is bad. Whenever we try to do several things at once, we're actually not getting more done. But what we're doing is we're doing a little bit of a lot of different things, and when we're all done, we don't have much of anything accomplished.
Okay. Now, a lot of people I know would agree with you that multitasking is bad. It diverts our attention from things. Are there any scientific studies that support that theory, that multitasking is bad?
What happens, though, I'm not sure if there are scientific theories or studies, but what happens is it takes a certain amount of time to spin up and get going on a particular task. And when we're constantly diverting ourselves from one task to another, what happens is we keep having to spin ourselves back up, remember where we were on this thing, now we're switching over here, I'm jumping on the internet, I'm doing an email, doing a text message, coming back to a report I had to work on. So we're constantly churning with our effort. And when we do that, we forget where we are. So most of our time then is just spent remembering where we were, and so we're not really getting much done.
All right. Now, Brian, many of the people listening to the sound of our voices are at work. They might even be at their desk listening on the radio or on the computer. Work, the telephone rings, the boss walks in, they need that report right away. Lots of demands, lots of really draws on your time. So let's get practical. In a work environment, how can you avoid having to multitask just because different things are being hurled at you at once?
Well, the best way to avoid multitasking is to realize that not everything constitutes an emergency or requires an instant response. So we become conditioned to think, oh, somebody sent me an email, I've got to respond right away. I just got a text message, I've got to respond right away. Or my phone's ringing, I've got to answer it. Well, the really nice thing about high-tech devices is you can turn them off. And when we do that, we eliminate a lot of our distractions. I know a lot of people in the corporate world, what they'll try to do is they try to get in an hour early before everybody else gets there, or stay an hour late, because they find in that 1 hour without distraction, they're actually able to get sometimes more done in the 1 hour than they managed to get done in the whole day. So there's nothing wrong with saying, okay, I'm going to check my emails once a day, and that's going to be it. Or somebody sent me a text message, but I'm in the middle of something, so I'm not going to respond to it right away.
We're
in a meeting, we're working on a project, just let your telephone go to voicemail.
Okay. Got it. We're talking to Brian Golden, everybody, the author of the book Dare to Live Without Limits. Brian, you're a motivational speaker, you're an author, you're a syndicated columnist. How would you describe your philosophy to other people?
My philosophy, in a nutshell, is that our lives, what we accomplish, whether or not we achieve our goals, the quality of our experience is determined by one thing and one thing alone, and that single thing is our attitude. Because it's our attitude that determines our perception, and it's our perception that determines our reality. So the topic of my book, the title of my book and also my column is Dare to Live Without Limits. And we all have inside us limitations that prevent us from going into certain accomplishments. And those limitations are simply a figment of our own actual imagination, which is extremely powerful. Because if we think that we can do something, we're correct. But conversely, if we think we can't do something, we're also correct.
Yeah, the old Henry Ford thing, if you think you can do something or if you think you can't, you're right.
Exactly. It's exactly right. And there was a really interesting experiment that encapsulates this in a nutshell. And they took a fish tank, empty fish tank, divided it in half with a piece of plexiglass, filled it with water, put a bunch of goldfish on one side. So the goldfish for a number of days tried to swim across to the other side of the plexiglass, but they couldn't. They quickly became acclimated to the fact that they can't go there. The piece of plexiglass was removed, and guess what? The fish all stayed on one side. And each of us has in our own mind something which we feel is a limitation, but it's actually not. It's a piece of plexiglass that doesn't really exist, but we think it does.
All right. Well, that makes sense. Now, part of the plexiglass or part of that is we encounter fears in our lives, things that hold us back. Are people really born with the concept of fear, or is fear something that gets learned in our lifetimes?
Well, fear is something that we learn, and a perfect example of that is watching an infant learn how to walk. Now, the infant doesn't look around, see how all the big people are doing it, get up and succeed the first time. The first time the infant tries to get up, he or she falls. This process is repeated hundreds, if not thousands, of times. So as we're born without the sense of failure, we don't know that we can't do it. That's why we learn how to walk before we learn how to talk, because then we can't hear all the people around us telling us that we can't do it.
All right.
So fear is something that's learned by example as we grow.
Okay. All righty. Well, that's one of the theses in your book, is that you have to live in the present. You have to take action today. However, for many of us, past experiences weigh us down. Is there a way to live without failing?
Well, yes, there is. There's a way to live without failing, and it's adjusting your attitude a little bit. See, I don't fail anymore. What happens is I take seminars. There are things that I try that may not work as planned, but instead of calling it a failure, I call it a part of my education. Because the key to making your past valuable is not to let it be an anchor and let it pollute your present and future, but it's to teach you the things that you've done that haven't worked properly. And that way, it gives you an opportunity to adjust going forward. But unfortunately, lots of people use their past as an anchor. They had a bad experience. They become gun-shy. They say, oh, well, I tried that once. It didn't work, so it's not for me. And that's a real shame, because there's so much potential in each and every one of us. And each day is really just a new beginning, as you know, many people have said before me. So the key to remember is that really failure only occurs when you stop trying, when you refuse, or when you fail to get up again. So we never failed to learn how to walk, because every time we fell, we got up one more time. And in life, when something happens and it's not the way you anticipated, it's not really a failure. It's just one way that didn't work as anticipated.
All right, so that's a great mindset. You change your attitude by looking at a setback, not as a failure, but as a learning experience. However, there's another element. I think you would agree with that, with this, and that other element is people telling you and criticizing you about what you've done. So how do you avoid negative criticism from other people?
Well, you don't avoid negative criticism, because anyone who's ever accomplished anything throughout the history of mankind has been ridiculed, criticized, laughed at, and derided. And I'll give you one example to start off with. It is Marconi, the inventor of the radio.
Yes.
His relatives wanted to have him institutionalized in a mental asylum, because they thought for sure he had to be nuts to to want to communicate without using wires. So anyone that's ever accomplished something, Thomas Edison, it took him 10,000 tries to invent a light bulb, to get a working light bulb. Now, don't you think along the way, you have to try 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, that there were critics lining up to tell him not to bother, it's not going to work, just stick with candles, it's a proven method of producing light. So you'll never avoid criticism. Now, one measure of deciding or determining if you're on the right track is the amount of criticism you're receiving.
Really?
So if everyone's agreeing with you, in my mind, that's kind of like a nightmare situation, because if everyone's agreeing with you, you're not doing something right. If people are telling you that you're nuts, that what you want to do is impossible, then you're truly onto something which is going to generate great reward.
All right, so always strive for the impossible is the lesson that we learned from Brian Golden, author of the book Dare to Live Without Limits. Brian, what leads people to form negative attitudes and negative outlooks?
Negative attitudes and outlooks are formed by conditioning. It's also formed by people around us. I mean, I'm sure you've seen examples of a parent, a mother, a father telling their child, oh, you can't do this, you're too stupid, this is not going to work, what are the neighbors going to think? We just grow up learning all the things that we can't do. And unfortunately, there's very little formal education that teaches us that we can really achieve our dreams and accomplish anything that we set our mind to. So this is a conditioning that we all grow up with. But the nice thing about our minds is that they're our minds. And since the only thing that we have total control over in our life is our thoughts, that as we grow up and we understand what's happened to us, we do have the free will to make a determination to say, look, I don't believe this anymore. I'm not going to go with what I was told. I'm going to go out and do the things I want to do, and I'm not going to listen to those detractors to tell me that something is not possible.
All right. Sounds good. Now, let's get practical. Let's give you some examples and help us to reform and reshape our attitude in these certain situations. It's what I like to call a quick fire. So how do you suggest that we change our outlook when, let's say, we're unemployed?
Okay. Well, here's a great way. Starting off with, if you look in the news, it's doom and gloom. Unemployment's at 10%. No one has a job if you take it to logical conclusion the way it's reported. But turn it around. And if there's 10% unemployment, that means that there's a 90% chance of getting a job. Now, tell me who wouldn't go to a casino if there was a 90% chance of winning at any of the games. But yet, if there's 10% unemployment, which really means 90% chance of getting a job, we all look at that as a negative. So what we want to do is turn things around. We want to always put things into a positive light. And the way I look at it, too, is the percentages actually don't matter. If it's doable, that's all that matters. So you know that people are getting jobs, and it might take a little bit more work. It might take a little bit more effort. It may take some creativity. Perhaps you'll have to change a career. You may change a focus. It might require some retraining. Perhaps it requires moving to another location, starting a business. But there is always a way to succeed. And the thing is not to look at the reasons why you can't do something, but just to look at the reasons why you need to do something and why it is possible and doable.
I like it. We're talking to Brian Golden, everybody, author of the book Dare to Live Without Limits. All right, let me give you another real-world scenario, Brian. Let's say that you're part of that 90% that is employed, but you're in a job that you dislike. It's either not stimulating you, or for whatever reason, you don't like the job that you're in. How can you modify your attitude there?
Well, the way to modify it is, remember that pretty much virtually any business, any corporation, any company that you're working for has a lot more opportunity just within that organization than most people realize. For example, the current CEO of McDonald's started out by working in a McDonald's making hamburgers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many people work out at McDonald's think, oh, that's just a dead-end job until I get something better? But yet here's someone who saw opportunity and actually worked their way all the way up to the top. So whatever situation you're in, you have to, first of all, become the best you can be at it. You want to become an expert regardless of what your field is. And really, it's a simple thing to do. If someone were to simply spend 20 minutes a week learning about new things in whatever field they're in, and it's so easy to do, libraries, internet, there's so much information available to us today, you'll become a virtual expert.
20 minutes a week?
About 20 minutes a week. Just 20 minutes a week reading about something in your field, learning about advances. Now, obviously, you spend 40 minutes, it goes that much quicker. But so many people just go to back and forth at work saying, I hate my job, I can't wait to get out, I can't wait to retire. And they take a passive, I'm a victim attitude. But yet the people who are successful say, no, I can make this better. If I can't make it better with this business, this corporation, I can certainly do it somewhere else.
All right. Let me give you another example. Let's say we're in financial distress. Let's say, you know, maybe somebody's lost a job, or maybe for some reason there's an unexpected medical expenditure. But for some reason you're stressed about money. How can you reshape your attitude then?
Well, when you're stressed about money, first of all, stress and worry accomplish nothing. And this is a really tough one because all of us are conditioned to do this. The only thing that makes a change in your life is action, not stress and worry. So, okay, so you have to first identify what's your situation. If it's a money issue, okay, are there ways that you can cut expenses? What can you do to perhaps increase income? Is there a way to pool your resources with someone else? For example, what's happened over probably at least the last 10 to 15 years is a lot of kids have decided to move back home because it was tough on their own. So they're going back to actually what historically was a little bit larger cohesive family unit. So there are many strategies you can engage in. So whenever there's a problem, there's also a situation. And the term, concept of thinking outside the box is so important. Don't get stuck in what the problem is. Get stuck in is what are some possible solutions. And when you do that, you want to brainstorm and consider all possibilities without any type of evaluation. Once you've got a big list, then you can go through and see, okay, which ones are the most feasible right now. So it's hard to give specific, in terms of financial advice or what people should do, but it all starts with an attitude saying, okay, I've got this problem. People before me have had this problem or worse, and they were able to overcome it. So therefore, it's doable, and I will do it also. I will find a way.
I love it. We're talking to Brian Golden, everybody, author of the book, Dare to Live Without Limits. We've got to take a short break, Brian, but I want to tease the audience with this question before we go to commercial, and that is, a lot of us want to change, we just don't know how. You've come up with a simple 8-step plan on how to change, how to reach any goal. When we come back, I want to talk about your 8-step plan. We'll be back after this short break.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, AM 1400. It's Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Remember, coming up after me is Living Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. Always has some interesting guests on that particular show. My special guest today is Brian Golden. He's the author of the book Dare to Live Without Limits. We've been talking about changing your attitude, changing your life. And Brian, your book, Dare to Live Without Limits, where could people find that if they're looking for your book?
People can find that at any bookstore. It's also available from any of the online retailers such as BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, or your local bookstore. Also, they can visit my website, which is DareToLiveWithoutLimits.com. They can read some of my columns are posted there. I have a weekly audio motivational minute that they listen to. Everything on my site is absolutely free. Lots of great stuff. And also, if they would like to get a signed copy of my book, there's a link that tells them how to get that as well on my website, which is DareToLiveWithoutLimits.com.
DareToLiveWithoutLimits.com. All right, before we went to commercial break, I was teasing the audience. Most of us want to make a change, but oftentimes we don't know how. In your book, you've got a simple 8-step plan to reach any goal. Let's go over that plan together, shall we?
Sure.
All right, what's the first step?
First step is, first of all, take a look and make a list of people who are where you want to be. Because these are kind of going to be the people that you look to see how did they do it. And then step number two is see if you can contact personally any of the people on the list. But if you don't know them personally, it's no big deal. Because everyone who's successful, things are written about them. They write things, all kinds of information, interview, biographies, books, tapes, videos. So then take a look at that, because these are going to be your guides on your journey.
All right. Now, I'm glad that you said that, Brian, because, if I want to be the richest man in the world, that means I've got to know Bill Gates, I've got to know Warren Buffett. So, and these are people that are not necessarily accessible to me. So one of the ways that they can become accessible, as you said, is read what they've written and what's been written about them.
Absolutely. And especially with the Internet, it's a fantastic research tool. You can find information about virtually anything on there. So do some research, see what they did. And you're going to use these people as your inspirational mastermind group.
Oh, okay. I like that. Mastermind group. All right. So create a list of successful people. Contact any of them that you can. Do research on those that you can't. What's next?
Okay. Next step three is what you want to do is you want to create a plan or basically set of goals. So this is your pathway. So for example, if you say, well, gee, you know, if I want to be an accountant, so, and I don't have an accounting degree, so I need a plan to get one. So your plan is to find a school, enroll in the school, register for courses, and this is going to be your plan that's going to guide you through that.
All right. Now, some of those things, though, in your plan are going to cost you money. How do you tackle that?
Well, again, any obstacle has a solution. So if there are things that do cost money, for example, if you need to go to school but maybe you don't have enough money for tuition, first of all, you can find schools that have very reasonable tuition. Most community college and in-state schools have really minimal tuition. And for those people that are facing any kind of financial challenges, there's also an abundance of financial aid that's available. So again, whatever you want to do, there is a way to accomplish it.
All right, so you've got your plan. What comes next?
Then there's step four, which is to write down a major plan of action. Because you can have all the goals in the world. You can know all the people you need to know. But until you take action, nothing is going to happen. So you need to say, okay, what do I have to do first, second, third, and so on, and you write out the steps. And this is going to be a guide to get you started and to keep you going.
All right, I've got my master plan, my action plan going. What happens next?
Then step five is sometimes we have major steps that seem a little overwhelming. Somebody might write down a step and say, gee, I need to get my degree. So what you want to do is you want to break that down to small steps which are not intimidating, which are things that are doable. So, for example, if getting a degree in college, going back to school after being out for a while is a little overwhelming, then if we look at that and say, gee, I don't know, when should I start? There's just so much to do. I don't even know where to begin. And so it puts us, you know, squarely into the mode of heavy-duty procrastination. But if you say, okay, my first step is I'm just going to pick out a school that I'd like to go to. So that's a very doable thing. And you say, okay, my next step is I'm going to contact the school and I'm going to get a catalog of courses. So as we break down our plan into small doable steps, we can start doing it right away, and this gets us out of the procrastination trap and out starting to move. And as we have with each successful step, what it does is it lets us build confidence, and it builds and generates our enthusiasm. So that keeps us going forward.
All right, we're talking to Brian Golden, everybody. He's going over his 8-step plan to reach any goal. So what comes next?
Okay, then once we have our smaller steps, then we have a plan of action for each sub-step. So again, what we're really trying to do is break this down to small, achievable steps that are almost so small that you say, gee, I can do this on my break. And again, it gets you moving, which is so important.
Right. Now, that is important, Brian. Are you one that believes that for each accomplishment that you have, you need to have a little reward as well that goes along with that to help motivate you?
It's very important to have that. And sometimes just the accomplishment itself is a reward itself. Or even just a sense of satisfaction. Hey, you know, I did this. I know when I'm also an adjunct professor, and I have all the returning students coming back to school. They've been out of school 20, 30 years. And they come in and they go and they get a good mark on a test, and they're pleased. They say, gee, you know, I've been out of school for a while, but look, I can do this. And you see they brighten up and they've got a renewed sense of confidence and enthusiasm.
Okay, good. Now, Brian, what's the next step after we break it down into plans for each subset? What comes next?
Okay, then again is the next one is once you've got it broken down, you know the steps you're going to take, is starting, taking that action. All right, and saying, okay, I know everything I'm doing. I broke it down to my substeps. Here's the first one, and you just go ahead and do that.
All right, and so act.
Yeah, taking action, example, exactly. And then step eight is very simple. It just continues. Step by step until you realize your goal.
All right, that makes sense. So those are the 8 steps. Create a list of successful people that you want to emulate. Contact those people or research those people. List everything that you need. Write a summary, major action plans. Then break down each step into subsets. Create an action plan for each subset. Act and then persist. All right, one of the central ideas in your book is giving more than you receive. But the problem that I always have with that sort of thinking is, how do you keep from falling into the trap of saying, well, I'll give more when I have more to give. If I have more money, then I'll give more to charity. If I had more time, then I'd spend more time with my children. How do you keep from falling into that trap?
Well, that is a trap that a lot of people get into, but the thing with that approach is it doesn't work. It's, for example, people say, well, when I'm happy, I'll smile. And those people never smile. The people that make more money, the people that get the promotions and the raises, are the ones that put in more effort before they're making more money. Those people that say, when I'm paid more, I'll do more, are always frustrated. So it's something where you have to actually have faith. It is something that does work. I can't tell you the scientific principle because I don't know if it's been studied scientifically. But the more you put out, the more that comes back. And there's just an interesting story that takes place in the early 1900s where this one general store has a stock boy, and the stock boy is out there, and he's sweeping the porch, and he just goes nonstop. He's just, like, ambitious and keeps going. And the store owner across the street is watching him, and he's saying to his friend, you know, that stock boy is going to get a raise. And his friend said, well, how do you know? You know the other owner? He goes, no, but if he doesn't give him a raise, I will.
I love that story.
So effort and enthusiasm is always rewarded. It might mean you need to change jobs. It might mean you need to change careers, change locations, change something. But when you're putting in the effort, it will come back to you. It always does. The only thing that is not certain is the exact timing of it.
All right. We're talking to Brian Golden, everybody. Brian, you've got so many good tips in your book, Dare to Live Without Limits. The last thing, and we've only got a couple of minutes left, the last thing you have is an acronym to achieve success. That acronym is SECRETS. Break it down for us. What does SECRETS stand for?
Okay. The first S is a sense of purpose. You have to know what you want to accomplish. You have to know what your goals are. The E is for excellence. Whatever you do, take pride in your work. Be the best you can be. Never just say, well, that's good enough. C is for contribution. That's doing for others. You can get anything you want in life by simply helping enough other people get what they want. R is for responsibility, and that means taking 100% responsibility for your life, for your circumstances. If there's something in your life you're not happy with, you are the one that's responsible to change it. You can't blame anybody else. Anyone who acts like a victim doesn't get anywhere in life. Then the E for effort. There's no shortcut. If you want something, it takes hard work. And Thomas Edison has a great quote, and he says, I'm a great believer in luck, and I find the harder I work, the more luck I have.
I love it.
And then the T is for time management. Use discretion in terms of how you spend your time. Make sure that you're devoting your time to those things that are going to get you to where you want to be. And it's really tough. You have to be really careful of the monster of procrastination, because it can creep in there really easily. And the last S is for staying with it, persistence, persevere. No one has ever accomplished anything without persistence, perseverance, and determination.
All right, Brian, so that's your acronym, SECRETS. Is there any one part that's more important than the others?
You know, they're all important. One of the things with the concepts I write about is it doesn't really matter where somebody starts. They can take any of the concepts we talked about today. They can take a look at my website and my book. And it really doesn't matter where you start. Just start with something to make a change in your life that's going to work things for the better. And stick with it. Don't just say, okay, I'll give it a try. Okay, I tried it yesterday. It didn't work. The things that give you results take repetition. It takes, again, determination. You've got to
do it
over and over again.
Thanks, Brian. We've been talking to Brian Golden, everybody, the author of the book, Dare to Live Without Limits. That brings us to the end of another episode of Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Join us here every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock on KKZZ. Coming up next is Living Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fun Friday.